Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. We're covering a topic today that I have talked to quite a bit about in the past. It's a big concern for me, and I don't know that there's any really quick answer, and we've got an expert on to talk about it. And that's a rare earth minerals issue with Joshua Ballard. We're going to get to Joshua in just a second. I'll let you know. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. Hey, been a customer for 7.5, going on 8 years, been an advertiser for almost 9 years, multiple times over. And I got to tell you, they're the best at what they do. They will remove your retirement from the bank. And under Dodd-Frank, they can keep it if things get dire enough. Dodd-Frank 2010, look it up. They can convert everything for you. It's painless, it's legal, and there's tax advantages. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, put your email address in, and I'll send you a free information packet. Well, Josh Ballard, our guest, is the CEO of USA Rare Earth. He's an accomplished leader with more than 20 years of experience as a senior level finance and operations executive in technology and manufacturing firms in the public service. Prior to joining USA Rare Earth in December of 24, he led the financial arm of Energy Recovery, Inc. And that's listed on the NASDAQ. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at the background here. This is fantastic. And I don't want to go through a whole lot of detail here because we have an expert. We want to maximize our time. And you've heard me say this many, many times with the Chinese economy and the difficulty that they're in right now, and especially since we're squeezing them on the tariff issue, even though that's been put off, we are in a very vulnerable position. And Josh was here to break it down. Hey, thanks for joining us. First time guest on the Common Sense Show. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Well, let me just start with this one point. I covered a few months ago the lithium deposits in northern Nevada that have been discovered, and it looks like it's just a relative gold mine, so to speak, of lithium, rare earth mineral that's needed, AI applications. But I read also that really developing this and making it usable and bypassing the Chinese, that's a difficult problem. And is that a standard problem across the board that we're going to have?
Yeah, rare earths are what's difficult about them is they're actually not all that rare. You can, if you go out and stick your hand in the dirt, you're probably going to pull up a bunch of rare earths in your fist. But the challenge with them when you're mining and trying to process the rare earths is that they're dispersed with throughout the rock. So it's not like like you're going down and finding a vein of coal and just shoveling it out essentially. This stuff is in the parts per million in the rock. There's a lot of science that goes into separating it out of the rock, a lot of costs that go into it. And a lot of just a lot of challenges to it that don't make it easy and make it expensive. And that's the challenge that we're running into here in the US as we look to develop these projects. We kind of gave away this science decades ago to China, and we're playing a lot of catch up now.
How long did that start, that giveaway?
It started, 30, 40 years ago, really. Back in 1992, there was a vice premier in China who said the Middle East has oil, China has rare earths. And they've been focused on this for the last 4 decades. And as they've progressed, we've let it go. And we let go of our last mine, I don't know, I think it was about 15 years ago or so, which was Molycorp. It's now MP Materials. They brought it back to life. But it happened over quite a number of years, and we've just let it go.
I know that with the dam, the Three Gorges Dam, and all the flooding that's going on and the danger there, that if that dam went, not only would that be catastrophic for the Chinese people, but us getting needed supplies, like particularly in medical supplies, medicines, prescriptions, that'd be in danger. Would that dam also affect our ability to get rare earth minerals from China?
It's a good question. Honestly, I don't know where that water would go specifically, but if any of the mines in China are within that range where they could be flooded, the challenge for us is that over 90% of these critical many of these critical minerals come from China, and it would just stop us. And to your point, it's technologies. They're in every cell phone, they're in cars, they're in medical devices. These things underpin modern technology all over the place. But also, some of these critical minerals are used directly in medicine. For example, in the Chinese export list that came out, what was it, 2 months ago, There's gadolinium. Gadolinium is used, we ingest when we do an MRI scan so that we can see our organs. There's yttrium, which actually helps we use to fight cancer. So some of these are very critical, even in medicine. And if any of them are cut off, whether purposely as they have been slowed by China here recently or through natural reasons like a flood or other natural causes, we're in real trouble.
Do you have an estimate on if we decided to get really serious about domestic production to bypass China, when could we reach that critical point where we could survive without China? Do you have a time estimate?
It's well over a decade.
Oh
Uh,
my.
our our challenge is it takes a long time to develop these mines. And there's a few challenges to it. There's the permitting challenges, which the administration is actually trying to work on now and trying to solve. And then there's the science challenge and just the time to build a mine. Every deposit in the US, with the exception of one operating deposit, is going to take a few years to build. And then other deposits are like even our deposit, we're pretty far along, but we still have science we have to do. So we're still a few years away. And most deposits are further behind than we are. And there's only one operating deposit. And then there's the challenge of there's two kinds of rare earths. There's light rare earths and there's heavy rare earths. Light rare earths are more abundant. And so what we're mining today in the US are light rare earths. It's rare earths like cerium and lanthanum, and the most important, which is neodymium, praseodymium, NdPr, which goes into these all-important magnets that underpin a lot of our technology and are used in a lot of metal alloys. We mine that here in the U.S. About 16% of the world's, maybe even a bit more now, of the world's supply, and we can bring that up a little bit sooner. And our allies, there's some in Australia, there's Brazil, and other places. But heavy rare earths, we do not have any of, or very little of. And right now they're fully controlled by China. And that's just going to take us many years to bring up and really bring online with the mine. We have a heavy rare earth deposit, and we're 3, 4, 5 years away from bringing that online. And we're the probably the most advanced with heavy rare earths in the US today.
So optimistically, 5 years, best case scenario to
Best
where.
case scenario, you have something coming online, but enough to fill that massive gap. You're a decade, 15 years away. Even with a surge, you're at least a decade away. But we need to surge it, and we need to help our allies surge it as well so we can get there.
Well, I've heard that South Korea and Australia have some of these rare earth minerals that we need. Is it enough to bypass the Chinese?
No, it's not enough. It certainly fills a hole, some of the gap. But the Chinese, when they're making, well, on the light rare earth, they're making about six. They're making, when I say making, I mean they're mining and process. They're mining about 60% of all these light rare earths. They're processing over 90% of these light rare earths. And of the heavy rare earths, it's over 98% of most of them. So we have a pretty big gap to fill. And so, no, it is not enough right now.
When I look at problems that we have closing the gap on certain things, I look at things like, do we have the educated people knowing how to pull it off? And do we have the ability to construct infrastructure to do that? Do we have that? Are we that far behind the Chinese intellectually and technologically? Or is it we just haven't bothered to do it?
A lot of it, we haven't bothered to do it. It's not rocket science. There's hard science to it. There's no reason why we can't catch up, but we haven't been training engineers, so we do have a lack of them. And the Chinese have been training thousands of them every year, right? They've been supporting this entire industry, so we're way behind, and it just slows things down. It's not that we won't figure it out. There's an iterative, there's an R&D process you go through. We'll figure it out, but it takes time. The Chinese have gotten very effective at it, so it's much cheaper for them. So when you think about the global economy and us competing, it's going to take us a number of years to get on our feet and be able to effectively compete in the market. And we have a lot of catch up to do. And this is true on the processing side. You got to think about it as the actual processing where there's science, the metal making where there's science that we've also given up, as well as the magnet manufacturing. And we're kind of our company's looking at that entire chain and trying to replicate it this time.
Then we really, it sounds like we should be investing in our post-secondary education and graduate programs along this line.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should be looking at this. This is the Manhattan Project moment for rare earths in America. Like, we just have to make this happen, and it just has to happen. It just has to.
That's absolutely amazing. And then, I'm covering two stories today about Chinese spies in America, agroterrorism, the infiltration with New York state officials and so forth. So we know the Chinese really aren't on our side. What keeps them, particularly in these talks about tariffs, from just holding us hostage on this?
Nothing keeps them from holding us hostage. In fact, they are. I mean, just Ford, when was it, a couple of weeks ago, was announcing they were shutting down some of their production lines because they didn't have enough minerals. We've had to back off some of our tariff push
That's what I thought.
because they were holding this as a bat over us. Like, this is a very effective tool, and it's no fault of the current administration. This has been building for decades, right? And it's just going to take time to fix, but it's a very effective tool. You can't just get around it easily. Probably the only fastest way you could theoretically do it is maybe through recycling. You could recycle a lot of these magnets, but we don't have any kind of supply chain for that. The science isn't hard, but we have to build a supply chain for it. That might be a little bit faster. That's just otherwise it's just going to take time. It's been decades in the making.
If we, since we're looking at least a decade to catch up, if we were to be totally cut off, when would we start to feel the effects and what would that look like?
We would start to feel it pretty quick. It's not like car manufacturers who try to work in a just-in-time environment, right? Bringing inventory in just as they need it to produce. I have a lot of this hanging around. That's why Ford was already running out. It's going to take. This is from, I'm thinking about magnets here. Magnets were already running out. They've started to allow some supply, but keep in mind that they're only allowing supply to the industries that they want. So if it's a defense industry, they're still holding back. This is critical to a lot of our defense technologies as well. And if they were to totally cut us off, we would feel the effects very quickly. Now we can build magnet. We're building a magnet facility in Oklahoma today. We'll have that up and running in roughly the first quarter next year. We'll be commissioning it to make product next year. We could surge that and build our whole facility within a, call it a year and a half or so. Others could do it within a couple of years or a little longer. Metal making can be surged. So these things we can build a little faster, but you can't hurry the mining and the processing. It just takes time and a lot of science to get there. So we would feel it very quickly.
I want to give a hook here to get the average person who may not be that familiar with this topic to say, hey, this is really important. So China decides, okay, total embargo. Plus, they're in trouble anyway with their supply chain, given their state of the economy. But I mean, they're in big trouble. But if they were to cut us off, what would life look like for the average person?
Well, a lot of we would have a supply chain crunch in the near term. For example, if you look at car manufacturing, a lot of people talk about rare earths with EVs, which is true. There's a lot of rare earths used at EVs, but there's also a lot of rare earths used throughout a typical internal combustion engine vehicle, if you will. It's
No.
used for power steering, it's used for safety. It's used for actuators. It's used in the speakers in your cars. It's used in all sorts of things throughout the car. Now, not every magnet, you have to, there's magnets that use heavy rare earths. There's magnets that don't use heavy rare earths. It's the heavy rare earths that'll really come and bite us quickly. That will run out of almost immediately. And you'll start feeling it there. Our defense industry will be crippled fairly, at least all new technologies will be crippled fairly quickly. We'll see effects throughout our medical industry. Robotics would be stalled. On an everyday basis, it'll start to creep in big ways. Things will become more expensive. They'll have to revert to old technologies. Like it'll have kind of a ripple down effect. It's not like the entire economy will stop tomorrow by any means. Of course not. But we're going to see slowdowns, more expensive products. It'll affect things like the drone manufacturing use these little itty bitty guys, that go into drones. It could have a pretty big effect in the short term. Now, if we can get magnet manufacturing, metal manufacturing up quick, you can solve a lot of it. But when you start looking at higher performance technologies, rockets, cars, anything where you have a lot of high heat, there's a lot of energy technologies that use these heavy rare earths, things like that, you would see an effect very quickly and a pretty massive slowdown.
Is Europe in the same boat we are?
They're in a similar boat. I mean, they're not having quite the same spat we are with China, but China, when they put in this export control list, they applied it to the whole world. So Europe is definitely feeling it for sure. And they're no further ahead than we are in this. So we're all behind.
And I would imagine I'm looking at future geopolitical conflicts involving military. Russia could still be supplied by China
That's
and
right.
have a decided advantage over the West. But here's, I think, the equalizer. If we were to take out the Three Gorges Dam, China's economy would be devastated regardless of the rare earth minerals. So it's kind of a win-win, lose-lose proposition.
Yeah. When we go to the extremes, there's certainly ways we can retaliate without a doubt. But on a basic, in the near term, it's tough. It's solvable, however. And I like to tell people that this is not unsolvable by any means. And the administration is on fire to figure it out. They've been very focused on it. I think now that they're kind of getting their sea legs and things are starting to move, we're going to see some real decisions being made here in the coming months. I'm sure of it. We can surge this, a lot of this. It won't solve all of it. There's deposits globally we can look at. There's deposits here in the US. Like, this is totally solvable. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take a lot of will from our government as well as the American people. We're going to have to allow mining back into the United States, and we have to rebuild some of our manufacturing to support it, but it's totally doable.
Yeah, what we did with China in terms of trade was basically suicidal. I think done in the name of cheap labor, overseas labor. But I was thinking, okay, with what you're describing, I better take good care of my car, but I'm thinking spare parts technology is probably going to be impacted too, won't it?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if it's parts of the car that to replace, especially, I mean, if you have a gas-driven car, it's a little easier, of course. EVs will be affected because it controls. When you think of a Tesla and you put it in beast mode and it takes off really fast, these are magnets that are making this happen in an EV. But in a car, in a gas-powered car, it's in your powered steering. It's in actuators, things like that. I mean, probably from a spare parts perspective, you might be a little better off. Those things don't break so often. But you could have an issue. Yeah. And, those are areas like USA Rare Earth where we're trying to get ahead of it and make sure we at least have supply, the basic supply we need of magnets and so forth for the auto industry and other industries.
And the defense industry would have first priority anyway.
You would certainly think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be crazy if we didn't.
That's
If
right.
you were advising President Trump today, what would you tell him?
I would tell him that the government needs to take some risks and invest in companies. I look at it like the 2008 crisis when the government helped support the car industry and got its money back, right? Like, we should look at this and that. How can we be creative? So we're standing up an entire industry from mining to processing to metal making to magnet manufacturing. It's a huge effort. We can't do it without some kind of support. That support doesn't have to be money giveaways. That support But there's going to be some risk involved to it. And they need to look at a wide number of companies to take that risk, to really go for it and build this as fast as we possibly can, and to support it in unique ways that maybe we're not used to. But when you're standing up an entire industry, this is war footing as I see it. Not literally, but metaphorically, it's
Yeah.
war footing. We just have to make it happen.
Absolutely. So I can see why Trump is pausing the tariffs as they continue to talk. Do you think at the heart of this is the rare earth minerals issue?
I'm sure it's part of it. Yeah, there may be other considerations. Obviously, I'm not in the room, but I'm sure that that plays an important role. It can't not.
It's interesting. You said something that I was totally unaware of. I have to confess my ignorance here. You were talking about rare earth minerals in terms of treatment of cancer. I
Yeah.
was totally unaware of that. How many other medical applications are there for rare earth minerals?
I mean, there's a few on the cancer side. It's mostly, though, they're used either in MRI machines as well as I described, or they're used in medical devices. So you have to in ma through magnets. And you have to think of, when you think of rare earth magnets, you have to think of them as they're the key to or the key technology for when we're translating electricity into motion. So if you're anything, you could have a valve in your heart that is run off electricity that has a little magnet that is opening and closing it. There's all sorts of things in your body you could have that way, and sensors and things like that. Medical
Okay.
devices, robotic arms all have these magnets. MRI machines have, like, I don't know, literally a ton of them or two. They're throughout the medical industry wherever this is occurring. Yeah.
It's definitely, we are in a mess with this.
Yeah.
But going back to when Trump thought he was going to get a deal between Putin and Zelensky, the rebuild of Ukraine was predicated on us getting a fair share of their rare earth minerals. But even with that, you're still looking at more than a decade, aren't you?
Ukraine even longer. And unfortunately, Ukraine has a lot of key critical minerals, not so many rare earths themselves. And there's often a misnomer, like lithium, for example, that you started out with, that actually isn't a rare earth officially. It is a critical metal, however. Ukraine, the rare earths it has are mostly in Eastern Europe or Eastern Ukraine, where Russia has already taken control. And they're a couple decades away from unlocking those resources. Greenland as well. Greenland actually has quite a bit, but it's locked in ice and it's a couple decades away. I mean, listen, Dave, we have plenty of it here in the US. There's plenty in Canada. There's plenty in Australia. There's plenty in with some of our allies, even in South America. It's not that this isn't out there. We just have to do it.
I'm wondering if the Chinese don't have another advantage, and that comes back to international applications of climate change restrictions on things like mining. The Chinese don't pay attention to that at all,
That's right.
and we have been pretty religious in following that. Do you think Trump is going to continue that Biden mode? I would say he probably won't.
I don't think Trump has condoned anything in the Biden mode. I think we'd probably agree on that. No, he's not. He's already announced. So they're working on what are the biggest issues? Permitting issues that have taken years, if not decades, to get permitting done for a mine. Environmental reviews that take a decade to do. These are things that the administration is already focusing on. Now it has to be, which is good, and now, but it also has to be buttressed with law. Otherwise, you leave companies open to legal ramifications later. But they're taking the right first steps for sure within the administration. And now it's just what's next, and that's that support that comes behind it to really get these things moving. And then us as Americans, we're going to have to accept that. Yeah, it's a little dirty. We can do it a lot cleaner than China is. I can tell you that. I mean, they've got guys with packs on their back going up a hill and pouring chemicals into the ground, and then ruining the waterways around them. We could obviously do it much better than that. We could be
Sure.
good humans, good citizens here in the US, but we're gonna have to accept it to some degree.
Yeah, there's always going to be a little fallout. That's the climate change thing, and the interaction with mining didn't work well for us. I forget the amount. I think it was China was building 30 coal plants every year, and we were diminishing
Yeah.
ours.
Yeah,
That's
something
just
like
one
that. And
example.
well, and not only that though, Dave, is they're also buying up rights to these, whether it's to the mines themselves globally. They've been doing a huge push and it's accelerated here over the last year, or they're buying the rights to the minerals so they can process them and control them. I mean, even the only operating mine here in the US was sending all of their or most of their concentrate to China to be processed. The other major heavy rare earth deposit that is so critical as it's in Brazil, have to send it to China to get processed. We don't have the
Yeah.
technology to do it. So they're controlling not only building mines in China, but they're controlling the entire supply, trying to globally and to lock others out.
Was that part of their Belt and Road?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true.
And they've been so effective at it, Dave. I mean, you have to be impressed in some ways. We should learn from this. You know, how can we as America look forward and position ourselves so well? It's impressive what they've done, but it hasn't been so good for us, that's for sure.
Well, there's another element out there, kind of a free floating element, and the Chinese leadership is going through real change. Like General Yuxi has effectively replaced Xi Jinping as the head of the military. I think Xi is on his way out totally. And this is what I keep hearing, and I'm wondering, is the new going to be more flexible with us and work with us, or are they going to be more hardline? Do you have a feel for that?
I don't, you know, what I'm really watching, Dave, is underneath it all, China, their population is declining. They have an aging population. It's going to rapidly increase here in the 30s and 40s and 50s, which is going to be a massive challenge on their economy. They're certainly annoying people globally, you know, in terms of the way they're pushing in, trying to take over resources and things. So I'm curious here over the next, especially over the next decade, whether or not they can remain as much as a force as they've tried to, or if they're really at their peak today. I just, you know, that's kind of what I'm watching.
Well,
You know, I don't know the politics enough to turn with.
there's strong rumors to suggest, well, this is one thing we do know. Their older population is way too big for China in terms of labor market. And their younger people, there's two problems. There's not enough of them. And then the ones who are there are disillusioned. They have this saying called let it rot, and they're becoming domestic engineers for their parents and not entering the labor force.
That's right.
China has a manpower problem, don't they?
They have a huge manpower problem, and it's only going to accelerate, and it's really going to affect their economy in the coming year. That's exactly what I'm talking about there. Of course, that's why they're pushing forward so hard into robotics and other areas, right? Which we also need to watch. But I think they're going to be under some pressure. I think, they may be at their peak. We'll see.
Well, I want to throw a Hail Mary into this discussion. Quantum physics has been one of my hobbies for 30 years, and I
It's
don't claim to
fascinating
be an
stuff.
expert, but I know a little bit about it. But I'm wondering if there isn't a technological workaround, at least for some of this, in the quantum model, or is the quantum model totally dependent on rare earth minerals and it doesn't matter that we switch anyway?
Yeah, I'm a physics geek as well. I'm probably about as dangerous as you are because I'm a born finance guy, but we'll see. I mean, that's an area as we look at how we're going to evolve as a company. Our first job is we're standing up this factory. We're going to produce magnets for the domestic economy. We want to stand up our mine and our processing metal making here in the US. And then as we evolve, it's looking at that. How can we actually evolve and look at these new technologies, whether it's quantum or anything else it may be to help support these technologies as we grow and evolve as a human race. It's a fascinating project to be a part of. I absolutely love it.
I think you're referring to your Oklahoma facility, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I want to go down that road here. Yeah,
Sure.
I'll tell you what, if I were advising Trump, I'd say, hey, public-private partnership, if they'll accept it. Tell me where that's at. Are you getting any government assistance because of the urgency?
Not yet. I mean, I joined about 6 months ago, maybe 7 now, back in December, and we've been doing a big push, making ourselves known. We had a new administration come in. We were an unknown. We've really come in hard over the past few months. So we haven't yet. I think we will. Honestly, I think the administration is going to be very supportive. I think it'll be supportive of this magnet facility. And what we're building in Oklahoma it's a 5,000-ton facility, annual production facility in Oklahoma. That's roughly, call it as of today, next year, roughly 10% of the amount of magnets used in the US today in various technologies. Far and away, not enough, but it'll be the largest magnet facility here in the US, making these sintered neodymium rare earth magnets that are so critical to so many technologies. And then we're going to bring metal making back here to the US. And then we have our deposit in West Texas that we're developing, really working on the processing technology on. And I think we're going to find ways to partner with the government. I think we'll find ways to get funding, whether it's grants, whether it's loans, whether they get creative and do some kind of equity scheme. Like, I literally have no idea. But I'm pretty sure that I feel very confident that the administration's going to be supportive here over time as we look, in the coming months and certainly the next year.
Do you have any feeling on why it took Trump to come into office to start working towards solving this problem? Because I don't think the Biden people were. Was it their obsession with other areas and they didn't care about the rare earth? What do you think it is?
I think so. It's not that they didn't care. They certainly talked about it, but they did have an obsession with renewables. They were really focused on renewables. And unfortunately, they just ignored this space. The first Trump administration started really looking at this space, and that's where it began. But as a nation, as you know, Dave, we're just addicted to cheap stuff coming out of China. And the industries, this is as much the fault of industries, just hooked on getting this dirt cheap stuff from China and fighting the change that we know that needs to happen here. And they're slowly coming around, obviously. I mean, when you see this kind of risk in your supply chain, there's a value to that risk. And getting subsidized product from China is just too dangerous. And it's literally subsidized. I mean, they're getting metals for cheaper. They get tax kickbacks. All sorts of things are happening underneath the hood to keep these things cheap to allow them to control the markets.
The magic solution, though, I think long term is what Trump does best in making deals. You got to make it beneficial for them to let, since they will have a labor shortage shortly, they got to import mining companies that know what they're doing. And companies like yours. And do you kind of anticipate Trump is working towards that end, say, hey, we can both benefit here?
I'm sure, and we can. I think there's a. I'm convinced we'll get to a solution that'll cover us here in the short term. It's not really in China's interest. If they cut everybody off permanently, okay, one use it for bad, fine. But if you cut everybody off permanently, then all the work they've done over the last 4 decades will fall apart here in the coming years. And that's no good for China either. So we're gonna have to find a balance, and then I think that'll give us the time to really build things up and hopefully catch things up. But I'm confident that we'll get there, the administration will get there at some point.
So you have a very calm approach to this because some
I
people
do.
I've talked to, they're flying off the edge. Hey, enjoy your cell phone. You're not going to have it in a year. I mean, that kind of thing.
Well,
And I'm not hearing that from you. And I agree because this is we're on the same street with the Chinese. It's in their interest to work with us as well.
Of course. Otherwise, things would have blown up a lot more. We wouldn't have all backed off together a couple of months ago. It's in all our interests. Yeah, I think about it, obviously. All of this that's happening is somewhat good for our company, clearly. Although it creates challenges for us, we have to source some of these rare earths that we can't get here domestically, the heavy rare earths in particular. So there's challenges for us. I think it's solvable,
I want
and
you
I
to
think
help
we'll
me
solve it.
do some detective work.
Yeah.
I live north of metropolitan Phoenix in rural Maricopa County, but if I go east about 30 miles, there's a huge chip plant that's origin is Taiwan, and
Right.
I have never seen infrastructure built so quickly. They went from stakes in the ground to operational with hundreds of cars in under a year. I've never, and the roads around there, the infrastructure that we can't get our roads paved where I'm at. Okay, but I'm seeing the infrastructure there like crazy. Is this related to that problem with Taiwan's ability to manufacture chips?
Oh yeah, it absolutely is, right? This is a well. Here you go. Here's a Manhattan Project moment, right? They're doing it, and one of Taiwan's invaded. It's all over for us from a chip perspective, and so it had to get done. They built it. It's just execution. I'm a manufacturing guy. This is all about execution, and we. It just what feeds execution? Money. And if we feed this and feed the right things, of course we can build it and we can execute on it fairly quickly. We could build a massive facility within a couple of years, and we could probably fill up. We need about 50,000 tons, 40 to 50,000 tons of magnets here in the US. Our facility would be 10% of it if we can build it quickly. You build 10 more of those, of course you can. This is just about execution. It's about money and just doing it.
Well, they're certainly making the inroads there because you drive by there are hundreds, if not a couple thousand cars that are in these parking lots. I've never seen a business grow to the level I'm seeing here. And then I found out it's a Taiwan chip factory,
That's right.
which to me, they're trying to lessen the damage if things go south.
That's exactly what they're doing. And they got a lot of money in help as well. They're also investing a lot of their own money. And they were heavily encouraged by both administrations, I think, to build that plant. So it's absolutely, that's an important investment for us, frankly. We need more of those here in the US.
We have a huge naval presence now in the South China Sea in that area. We're helping the Australians, people in the Philippines, South Korea, Japan, and really we're just kind of aligning against China. To me, is that necessary? Is this kind of like, okay, if you cut us off, you're going to have a problem? But then I'm wondering about the defense implications, how soon they would show up, and when would that force be rendered less than what the Chinese have?
Yeah, I mean it's a balancing act, isn't it? Yeah, I absolutely think it's necessary. I think we need to really be thinking about the future. China is, they're very much thinking about it. But the question is how do we balance that? We can't lose control of these minerals, unfortunately, the position we're in today. So again, to me, it's this Manhattan Project moment. Like, how do we surge all this so that we can decouple ourselves from these critical areas? We want to buy Barbie dolls from China, let's buy Barbie dolls from China. But if we want to support our defense industries and our critical technology industries here in the West and our allies, even in East Asia, then we need to build it and we need to surge it. And we just need to make this happen, Dave, here as quickly as we can.
In terms of post-secondary education and graduate programs, PhD programs, what would be the specific areas we need to beef up for education purposes?
Great question. I mean, mining, process engineering, and mining, which is a lot of chemical engineering, a lot of magnet engineering or metallurgy, these kind of chemistry, metallurgy, magnets, process and engineering. These engineering areas is really what we need a lot of.
Interesting, because when Trump was having some issues with Harvard, he said this money we're giving you might be better off going into the trades. Could that be applied to your labor force for what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and there's definitely a gap that we have there. What we're doing, for example, at our magnet facility is we're putting together different different trades to make it work. So ceramics manufacturing, which we have quite a bit of here in the U.S., is actually very close to magnet manufacturing. So you bring in, we have great ma ceramics manufacturers running our facility, and then you bring in maybe some magnet engineers that. maybe have never produced anything in their lives, but they understand the science, and you bring them together to really build and run the factory and begin to educate each other. So we're stitching it together, but we're really missing that within our educational system. We absolutely need it, and we need to be training folks who are going to stay here and not just go home and use it at home as well.
Okay, satellites, over the horizon radar. We are the masters on the planet still to this
Yeah,
day. We're better.
yeah.
But how soon would those advantages disappear if China cut us off?
Pretty quick, frankly, pretty quick. I think we would be slowed down, I'm sure, within months, and we would, this is America, we'd figure something out, right? I mean, we used to make technologies without this. I'm sure we'd figure something out, and then we'd surge these things, and we'd build mines, and we would get the minerals that we need. But it would for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, it would definitely slow things down, Dave, pretty quick. And importantly, it would slow us down in developing new defense technologies as well, and allow others to catch up.
So cutting us off would probably hasten military action on our part.
It could.
Yeah, I could
It
see
could.
that. I
Yeah.
could definitely see that happening. Here's what I don't understand, and I'm going to take you a little far field just for a second. I'm revisiting today the agroterrorism case out of the University of Michigan because more stuff has come out from the court filings. And I'm thinking, okay, you're China. You need the United States to be a good customer. You're trying to negotiate trade agreements that benefit you as much as the US will tolerate. Why would you come in and do experiments that looks like they were looking at trying to destroy our food supply? And that's the position of the FBI in this case. Isn't that counterproductive to what they want to accomplish?
I think so. I have to profess, Dave, I'm not an expert in the agro business in the slightest. But I don't know. But don't we all, I mean, every country at times, out of hubris, do things that are, especially internationally, that may be somewhat not in our interest from time to time, because we think we can. I think every country's been probably going to miss some mistakes there. I think China might have already, even in the rare earth space, they might have already gone too far, because now they freaked everybody out. And even if they pull back tomorrow, the big shining, flashing red lights of risk are already flashing, and we're going to figure it out regardless of what they do tomorrow. So they may have already gone too far with rare earths, even if they're backing off a bit, which is probably good. I think it's reminded us that we need to take action.
Well, I know some people who are Pentagon types have told me China wants Siberia. It's not Taiwan. It's next. And they would have a vested interest in cutting Putin off, wouldn't they? Then.
Yeah, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah,
Yeah.
that
Well,
would.
the FSB leaked document said that Russia viewed China as their biggest enemy.
They did. Yeah. That would be interesting. I mean, come on, China, we know. I spent 10 years in Russia and Kazakhstan. I speak Russian fluently. I spent 20 years in the region in Ukraine. I was a Russian studies major. Like, this is an area I'm
This
more
is your
comfortable
area.
in. Yeah, and there's no way China's just doing this because they love Putin. Of course not. They've got some hidden agendas behind here. Russia has incredible resources throughout Siberia, and that country is full of resources, isn't it? I mean, that's what China
Absolutely.
needs. Yeah.
And then there's military advantages too, because if they ever wanted to cross the Bering Strait and invade North America, there's your ticket, which is Siberia, is your
That's
takeoff
right.
point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's never an easy issue. And I'm sure Trump, and this is why he wants Greenland. That's a counter to what he knows the Chinese want to do
Yeah.
militarily. Because people don't look at Greenland where it's at strategically in terms of countering Siberia. It's
Yeah.
very strategic.
It's very strategic. Yeah. And believe me, I'm sure she wants a weakened Russia. Like, why? Of course they're supporting Russia and Ukraine, because the longer Russia fights and gets weakened, the better it is for China.
True.
It's not bad for us either, right? So we're weak in Russia. So yeah, I'm sure there's a strategy there. China always has a strategy.
Well, I hope time is on President Trump's side. You said the Manhattan Project. I agree, it's an emergency and we need to push this forward. But I also thought this, since we brought up education, if you remember your history books, Sputnik, when the Russians launched Sputnik, it revolutionized education for a while.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's what we need to be doing. Do you see universities making this move, or are they still kind of in the dark?
Well, I would hope so. I'm sure they're still in the dark. I mean, all this has happened pretty quick. I would hope it would change. I would hope it, but it's also, universities respond to what we want as well, right? It's also it's a business. And I think we need Americans to want to go into engineering, want Americans to want to go into to mining and processing and, metallurgy. We need to market that. We need to certainly encourage our universities to do that. And to your point, this is where maybe this is a bright spot in all this. Sputnik's a great example, right? It spurred an entire space race. It spurred a lot of ingenuity on our side. We got to the moon. I mean, this started a whole push, right? And these kind of critical moments in our history do that. And I look at these critical moments as opportunities, and I think this is our moment. How does this spur now ingenuity and a changed view on how we operate as a country? I think this is a great opportunity for us. And I'm hopeful that seeing a country surpass us in something, which we never like, nor should we, is going to spur us into action to really create something new and better. That's, I'm a pretty positive guy, and I think we'll respond to it, and it's going to make us a better nation here over the next decade.
Well, that's our history. I would agree.
That's our
That's very
history.
much our history. Is your company on the NASDAQ?
We're on the Nasdaq. We're traded as USAR. We started trading back in March. And keep an eye on us. We're building this factory fast. We're going to be producing. We're going to be the only major magnet facility producing for the wider market. There's a couple other producers, but they're just producing for EVs. We're going to be producing for the wider market. We're focused on defense and industrial and consumer products, all the things that make this country great. And we're going to be coming out strong here early next year from a sales perspective. So we're pushing hard.
Are you, to me, I'm asking this question from a bias that I'm developing from talking to you. Excuse me. Are you looking at the stock market and your company as you're ready to explode because of the need that's coming and it's going to attract investors across the whole domain of investing?
Yeah, I certainly look at it that way. That's my hope. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I believe so. I think we can sell this product as fast as we can build it. Even if assuming, back to our earlier discussion that we find a balance with China and so we continue to get product, there's an incredible need here for domestic product. And we're going to be there to serve it. We're going to be one of the first and biggest. So yeah, I think we're in a great position as a company, and we just have to show it, which we will as we proceed in next year. We're good manufacturers. We're going to make good quality product. I think we're going to knock it out of the park.
See, I think that is really important because that'll push development more than government assistance.
Yeah,
If you can
I
get the
agree.
public, if you get the public behind this.
I agree. I mean, our fuel, as I was describing earlier, to build its capital. We need to bring in the capital we need to build this as quickly as we can. We brought in plenty to get us started, but now to really build it out and push it harder and maybe take it further than we were originally planning, which is what I'd like to do. It just takes capital, it takes trust. We have to build trust. We're in the public markets. We're asking people to invest. We have to build that trust and show that we can make great product and run a great company. But I'm confident we'll get there.
I don't know if you can answer this question. If you can't, I completely understand. But if I were involved with your company, I'd be worried about Chinese espionage. How far along are they? I'm being very serious when I say that.
I mean, I'm not worried about them stealing state secrets from us because, frankly, we're not using tech, we're not creating new technologies, we're executing on what's known today. Sabotage, maybe, I'm not that worried about it right now, but we're certainly thinking about it. I mean, believe me, cybersecurity is at the top of our list. When we talk as an executive team, it's something very important to us. Security at the plant, all that's very important.
Well, let me go to this term here. This is why I'd be worried about it. And I got to go to the biological term here. Firium oxysporum, which what these Chinese people were doing that are now under arrest and being tried for treason and espionage, they developed something that not only causes crops to die, but if you ingest the crops into your diet, it affects your health as well. That's pretty serious. That's why I asked my question.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. Yeah, I hope that's not true. Or if it is, we need to get out of it. That's for sure.
Well, there's charges in federal district court in
That's
Michigan on
crazy.
this. I mean, I saw the filings. This is I covered this once, and I'm going to recover it because stuff that came out in the filings I was unaware of. This was intentional. They tried to make it look like it was something that could harm crops but not harm people. And so it was kind of like, well, it's kind of bad, but it's not as bad as we could have done. And they found what they were could have done is what they were already doing. That's why I asked the question about intelligence. See, if I was a government, I'd be wor very worried. If we're going to go down this road now and develop our own industry, I'd be providing intelligence support to keep the Chinese out.
Yeah, and there's and providing that moat we need, when you have a completely subsidized industry in China and
True.
tax kickbacks and everything else, we have to build a moat to allow us to get our sea legs and to build this industry. I think that's really important for folks to understand. This isn't about giveaways to an industry. It's about building that moat that we need to survive in a completely unfair and subsidized environment, China. That's just the reality of it. And this is too important of an industry. Again, it's not Barbies. Not that I love Barbies. My granddaughter loves Barbies. I have two girls, but these are important technologies for our future and for our defense. So we have to build that moat.
Well, this is a no option venture, in my
And
opinion,
my,
which is
yeah, me
why I
too.
asked the stock market question. Because if your stock blew up, I'm asking kind of a silly question for the audience benefit who may not see the relationship. But if the stock blew up, wouldn't that hasten the production timelines and the quantity that you could produce?
Well, I mean, they're not fully directly related. We have to raise money to do it. When people buy stock, it's not money
Stuff,
that
yeah.
comes into our company, unless we're issuing new stock, of course. So it's certainly a show of support for us. But we have to, we still have to show the business plan and the future that is going to bring in the money to support our growth. I believe we are showing that. I believe we're going to continue to show that to raise the money that we need. I'm honestly not worried at all about our inability to raise money. I'm sure we will. We already have. We've raised quite a bit in order to get started. I want to raise it faster to build faster would be my thing. Yeah, as fast as we can, as fast as we'll build it.
Are there others doing this, but not as far along as you, or are you kind of a standalone and the new kid on the block?
There's a couple others. There's two other large ones. One is a company called MP Materials. Another one is called EVAC, and they're a German company actually owned by a company called Vacuum Schmelz. But they've both built facilities that are more or less run by, I mean, GM invested in them. They're for GM, essentially. At least the initial production that's coming out is all for GM and their EV manufacturing and motors. There's nobody at our size coming out for the broader market, which is why we're
Okay.
focused on it. Yeah.
That's
There's some
interesting.
smaller players, but nobody as large as we are and not as well funded. We're by far the, after MP, who's already operating, we're the best funded by far.
Well, I think I remember reading that you're in Stillwater, isn't that Oklahoma State?
Yep. Yeah, that's where
Yep.
Oklahoma State University is. Yeah. It's a great little
Yeah.
town.
Well, you think that they would be jumping on this like crazy with federal encouragement.
Yeah, certainly the state of Oklahoma is super supportive. They've been
Good.
fantastic. That's why we're there. And now, yeah, believe me, I'm working hard. I was in D.C. a week or so ago. I'm in D.C. quite a bit these days, talking to folks, working with them, finding paths for us to find the funding we need. And again, I think the government's going to be it's going to be supportive here in the coming months. We'll see what that looks like. I don't know yet. They're still figuring it out, but I think they'll get there.
If we're fortunate enough to get to the point where we're at least on an even par with the Chinese, I would think that the way that we manage business, and it's not state run, state owned, which is really inefficient, I would think the growth you would have compared to the Chinese, you'd leave them in the dust.
Yeah, I mean, I
Capitalism
think,
better than socialism is what I'm saying.
yeah, and well, of course, I'm a big capital. I believe firmly in the framework we all live in and we're growing in, but we have to figure out as a nation how to compete against nations such as China who are subsidizing these important industries. We got to figure that out, unlock it, and it's the challenge with that for us, and it's been like this for decades. Is it goes against our beliefs in capital, right? Believe you go out there and you compete, and whoever comes out best is the winner, which is great when it's a fair and transparent,
Sure.
playing field, which is it just isn't. It just isn't. And so how we respond to that and how we build those safeguards within our economy for this all important industry. And there's others. We're just one industry that's feeling it now is that's we got to figure that out as a nation.
Yeah, that's a really good comment. We have to figure this out as a nation. And two, with the quantum AI coming though, that's totally dependent on rare earth. Am I correct?
AI itself, you certainly use it in servers, you use it in cooling, you use it in semiconductors, in hard drives and areas like that. It's super important in robotics. Like every joint in a robot
Yeah.
has these little magnets in it, in the motors that move the joints. So it's critical for AI in terms of robotics and other areas. And it's certainly critical. And there's critical metals like gallium, which we're also very rich in our deposit, by the way, that underpin the semiconductor industry, which drives all of this, right? So yeah, rare earths, gallium, which was banned by China. These magnets underpin a lot of this.
What was banned in China?
Gallium, it's a critical. They banned it about 6 months ago for export here to the U.S. It's a critical metal used in the Patriot missile system. It's used in semiconductors, the two critical areas, and a lot of other areas. It's a pretty key metal that is largely produced in China as well.
Did China ban that because of our military application?
I think so. It was in re this was pre, you know, before Trump, after the election. This was, I think it was in December or January. It was before all this tariff, all these tariff negotiations, and it was in, you know, they were reacting to something. It was probably semiconductors that we banned or something at the time. I forget exactly, honestly.
Wow, that's amazing here. I don't know if you know this or not, because to me, the idea of 0 point energy comes up, and I think it's way down the road. The conversion would be longer than what you're dealing with. But there's this thing called have you ever come across this? The Invention Secrecy Act of 1951.
No, I have not.
Yeah,
Invention
it's a real
Secrecy Act of
thing.
1951.
It's a real thing. When Enron was taken down, I was acting as a consultant to one of the companies that was working with Enron, and they were looking at 0 point, and we think that's what triggered the feds to come down on them, and more so than any misdeeds they were involved in. And then that's when I came across this Invention Secrecy Act. We had a lawyer tell us they can shut you down just because of this. The
Interesting.
government's not going to shut you down, but I just wondered if you'd ever heard of that.
No, I hadn't. No, I don't know. We're about government shutting us down. They're going to be supporting us. That's what I think. Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to my friend Bob Kudla, who's a stock investor, very, very successful, and we're going to look into this because I think your stock is going to blow up. I really
I
do.
hope so. I hope so. I think we got a great company. I think we're building a great facility. We're going to have great product. And it's obviously in a market that really needs it. And we need it as a nation domestically. So I think we're in a good space, and I'm super excited about the future.
Before we close, let me go back to Oklahoma State University. Have they jumped into this at all, or where are they at with this?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly talking with them. I mean, we're just standing things up, so you know, things aren't going to change overnight, Oklahoma State, but we're certainly talking with them. We want to partner with them. To get the engineering that we need coming out of Oklahoma State. It's a great university. They've got great state support. So I think we're gonna have a great relationship with them going forward. Absolutely.
Well,
That's one
if
of
they
those
don't
teams.
jump into this full force, I mean, they're missing a golden opportunity with something like this in their backyard. And what President Trump is dealing with and the importance of this, they could jump to the head of the class in this area of technology very quickly.
Absolutely. And in Texas, by the way, you know, our deposits in West Texas, just it's about an
Yeah.
hour and a half east of El Paso. And so the University of Texas and El Paso are becoming good partners. You know, we're working with University of Texas in Austin and NYC and
Absolutely.
some other universities there. So we're certainly getting support, and people are interested in the space. So I think things will change.
We got a lot of information in this hour. Joshua, is there any way people can follow the progress of what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think follow us, USAR on NASDAQ. Follow us on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter, other areas. And, you know, I'm out and about doing these kind of things quite a bit. So you guys might hear my voice again in other areas. I think it's an
Absolutely.
exciting time in
Absolutely.
the industry. I like to get the word out. I think we're an important company, and I think people should keep an eye on us.
Yeah, I'm going to share this interview with some of my colleagues who do what I do, and I would suspect you and Todd are going to hear from them. Hey, look, thanks for joining us. It's been
You
very,
bet.
very informative. I appreciate your concise and factual answers. You really opened up my eyes. So thanks for joining us. And if things develop, feel free to come back.
Yeah, I appreciate it, David. It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Take
You have a good
care.
day. Bye.